lift these prayers up. We lift our lives up in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have to warn you before I start that because we are doing the Lord's Supper today, that means I have to condense my sermon. Normally, this is Tom who preaches this first Sunday message. So I think I made it a little short. So next week, I'll make up for that. Did you know, before they formalized the process, that the Catholic Church, when they were looking for reasons to canonize somebody to become a saint, one of the standard qualifications for evidence of a Christian life was something known as hilaritas. It's a Latin word that means cheerfulness, good humor, joyousness, merriment, hilarity. In other words, they had to be joyful people capable of laughing, of praising, of celebrating. Some of you are thinking, that's the only thing I've been missing. But I think that's good to remember because many times us as a church body, as fellow Christians, we look so much at doctrine. Right? Are we or other people, are we thinking the right things? Or we look at acts. Are we or other people, are we doing the right things? We often forget about joy, about happiness, about cheerfulness, the joy of loving God, the joy of being with God. Living the love of Jesus means living a life of joy. If you are a perpetually grumpy person, or you know one, knock it off. Of course, if we are talking about hilaritas and joy, we probably should start the sermon with something funny. Once upon a time, an old-time pastor was galloping down the road, rushing to get to church on time. Suddenly, his horse stumbled and pitched him off. In the dirt with a broken leg, the pastor calls out, all you saints in heaven, help me get back on my horse. Then with superhuman strength, he leaped onto the horse's back and fell off the other side. Once again on the ground, he calls to heaven, all right, just half of you this time. I'll let that sink in for a moment. So today's sermon is called Wingman, and it's about friendship, and it's about the importance of having godly friends. And I have to tell you that one of the exciting things about being a pastor is I'm not always certain what I'm going to be preaching on. And let me tell you what I mean by that. We have our worship committee that meets now on the first Monday and the third Monday of every month. And we talk about worship series. We talk about sermon ideas. And two critical components of that is what is a message, what scripture do we feel that our church family needs? What would be meaningful in helping all of us live the love of Jesus? But also, what would be a message that the community would need? Something that we could reach out to them and we would kind of cut through the noise and they would see it and say, boy, I'd love to hear that. I need that. I'm going through that type of struggle, right? So we're thinking about those things. We'll have certain scripture that we identify for each sermon. I'll pray about that and interpret that. And oftentimes, I will write out a complete sermon. And I get this feeling inside where God says, no, you're not going to preach on that. I want you to preach on this. And the good news is this is always better than that. Always. And this sermon happens to be one of these because I had a completely written, finished sermon as of yesterday. And God said, no, I got something better. So, here it is. Wingman, the importance of godly friends. I was I remember a conversation that I had. Two of my friends, and these two people are very accomplished in their careers. They have been very successful. They are both very highly educated, and they are recognized by their peers at being some of the best at what they do. And I said to them, I said, you know, if you look at your full potential, how are you doing? Where are you with that? All the gifts that God has given you and all the things that you're capable of accomplishing here on earth, where do you think you are? In other words, right, if this is your life's work, are you 50% there? Are you 60% there? And again, these are very accomplished people, so I was curious what they would say. And the one said 40%. I think I'm 40% of the way there. And the other one said 30%. And I said to them, have you considered that you have one too many zeros in that percentage? And the one guy looked at me like I was criticizing him. Are you saying to me that I've only accomplished 4%? I said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. As much as you have done, as successful as you are, as respected you are, have you ever considered that you are just scratching the tip of the iceberg? Have you ever considered that you are just beginning to fulfill God's purpose for your life? And with the 30%, it was the same way. Maybe you're only 3% of the way there. And so I'll pose that question to all of you. What if the purpose of your life, the very reason that God put you here, there are not accidents, folks. We are here on purpose for God. What if you haven't even started yet? What if you haven't scratched the surface? And I know what some of you may be thinking. You know, I'm not sure how many more years I've got to do this purpose here, right? We have one or two elderly folk here. Did you know? At age 77, John Glenn became the oldest man to go into outer space. Age 86, a woman named Catherine Pelton swam the 200-meter butterfly in 3 minutes and 1.14 seconds, beating the men's world record by 20 seconds. At 95, a woman named Nola Oakes became the oldest person to receive a college diploma. At 99, a Japanese man named Taichi Igashiro climbed Mount Fuji. I have no idea what he was thinking. What if you're only scratching the surface? The reason that this story of Nathan rebuking David is so powerful is because Nathan is reminding David who he is. That's what godly friends do. Nathan tells of a rich man who took the baby lamb from the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him, and David burns, right, with anger. And he says, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. And Nathan says, you are that man. But David used to be the poor man. He used to be the kind man. He used to be the loving man. In more than one way, you can look at that baby lamb as Jesus, the Lamb of God. And so God and the poor man had this intimate relationship. That used to be David. And I added this point in the contemporary service. One of my absolute favorite stories or part of Scripture is when young David, the shepherd, comes to the field of battle. And the Philistine armies, right, they're spread out. And the Israelite armies are spread out. Goliath is standing out in the middle of the field. He has been taunting the Israelites for 40 days. And the Israelites, right, are scared. They don't know what to do. And young David comes out. David, the shepherd, David, the poor man, comes out. And he says, you have all this stuff. You have a javelin, and you have a spear, and you have a shield. But I come at you in the name of the Lord. That's all he says. And I always remember that. Whatever I'm facing, whatever obstacle seems insurmountable, remember David, the poor man, the shepherd, who said, I come at you in the name of the Lord. That used to be David. But David changes into the rich man. He takes God's love, the Lamb of God, and he sacrifices it for material gain. He takes this beautiful, wonderful relationship between Uriah and Bathsheba, two honorable people who are loyal to him as king, and he sacrifices it for his greed and his lust. And the power of the story of Nathan forcing David to remember just who he is brings that whole story to life. Remember who you are. And I'll say it again. That's what godly friends do. They remind us who we really are. So let me take on the role of godly friend, if I may, this morning. And remind all of you, if you have forgotten who you are daughters and sons of the King. Amen. Let's do that again. You are sons and daughters of the King. Amen. You have been showered with love and grace and mercy. Showered, not a little trickle, a downpour, torrents of grace and mercy and love. They showered down to us. You have been given the power to move mountains. You have been given the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead. That comes from Matthew 10:8. The same power that resurrected Jesus from the tomb is in us, is in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's who we are. Yeah, we forget. We forget. At one time, we had this intimate relationship with God. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. But we let the world get in the way. We let the world come between us and our God. We let worry and doubt creep into our lives. We let fear of the future cloud our vision. Think about that. What are you worried about today? Here's a couple of things I wrote down. We might be worried about the direction that our country is going. Right, there's a lot of talk right now. I don't care which side of the discussion that you're on, right? If you're on Facebook, get off. But we were talking earlier, if you're on Facebook, these posts, right, that are being posted, all they do is create fear. That's all they do. Are you afraid of terrorists coming to hurt us? Are you afraid of sickness and disease robbing you of family and friends? Have you forgotten that none of those things stand against the power of Jesus. None of them. None of them can stand against the love and the grace and the mercy of our Heavenly Father. And you are His children. His chosen ones. You have been redeemed in the blood of His Son. You have been anointed. You have been cleansed. You have been saved. Amen. Let this morning be the first of many mornings when we remember who we really are and that we have just scratched the surface, that we are just beginning to fulfill our promise and our purpose to God, all to His glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask You, we beg You to help us remember that we are Your children, that You have us in the palm of Your hand, that You will never, ever leave us or forsake us. There is nothing to worry about. You have everything under control. The struggles, the obstacles, the fear that comes into our lives, You have allowed it there to strengthen us, to build us up, to help us. Let us this morning remember that we are sons and daughters. We are children of the King. We lift this prayer up. We lift this service up. We lift our lives up to You through the awesome name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.